This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Kingdom kids, folks, give them another hand. Big wheel turning in my heart. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. First of all, before we get started, I want to say thank you to Pastor Tillman, our pastor who has just celebrating 42 years of service here at First African Baptist Church. So I thank God for the angel of this house and the opportunity to stand before you all and give you what God has given to me. And there's never been a time that I've preached that God didn't use this word for building me up first. So I pray that it does the same for you all. And if you all will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. We'll start at verse 15 and then we'll skip down to 19 and 20. And I'm going to actually read it from two versions. We read from the ESV version. 1 Corinthians 6. 15, verses 15, 19, and 20. And I'm going to read it from two versions. We read from the ESV, and then I'm going to also read it from the New Living Translation as well today. And it reads, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And the New Living Translation reads, "Do you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man or a woman, which is a part of Christ, join it to a prostitute? Never. Do you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." And if I had to title this message today, it would be Identity in Christ, Embracing Our True Selves. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day, this time, and this moment. We thank you for our early rising this morning. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you for the mobility in our joints. And we thank you, most importantly, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Because without him, we would all be destined to a pointless life that would end in eternal fire. So, Lord, we declare and decree right now in the name of Jesus that any distractions are cast out and cast about. And we declare, Father God, that you, Lord, you will not only give me the words, but, Father God, but you think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords so that you may get all of the glory and honor that is due your name. So bless this word, Father God, as you have already blessed your word. Keep us, strengthen us, and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was working out this morning, I was thinking about the message and all that God had shown me during the week. And then as it came to me, there was a story about a businessman in New York City. And this businessman was actually rushing to the train. He was almost to miss his train. And he ran past a man that was out selling pencils. And so he reached in his pocket hurriedly and put some money into the man's jar. And when he put the money and stepped in on the train, he realized that he forgot his product. So therefore, he jumped back off the train, went out and grabbed the pencils, and he looked at the gentleman and he told him, he says, hey, he says, I'm a businessman. I paid for this and I forgot to pick up what I paid for. So therefore, I'm coming back to get what I want. But he ended up missing his train. And he sat there and him and the gentleman talked for a while. So when the next train, he boarded a train and he continued to move on about his day. A few weeks later, he was at a business seminar and a gentleman walks up to him and just starts talking to him. Of course, he didn't remember the gentleman. But then, of course, he sat down. I mean, when he finally talked to the gentleman was reminding him of that day at the train station. He told him, he says, the conversation that we had, he said, I was just trying to make money by selling these pencils. He said, but you came and you told me that I was a businessman and we had made a business transaction. And he said, from that point on, I no longer saw myself as a beggar. He said, I saw myself as a businessman. Now I'm one of the top salesmen in my country, in my company, and it's all because of you. In today's scripture passage, we see that the church at Corinth is in an identity crisis within itself. The Apostle Paul had already seen them and sent to them a letter. But they were uncertain. They were confused. Therefore, we can assume that they were insecure in their role as a church. Among the myriad of problems that were going on at the Corinthian church were claims of spiritual superiority over one another, suing of one another in public courts, abusing the communal meal, and sexual misbehavior. I can say that the Corinth church relates directly to the church today. So therefore, they took the position of those outside of the church. In this epistle to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul discusses the myriad of problems, such as claims of spiritual superiority over one another in chapter 3, suing in the public in chapter 6, abusing the Holy Communion in chapter 11, and as we are discussing today, the sexual misbehavior. Now, we lived in an overcharged, sexually stimulated society today. And of course, everywhere that we turn, these are the things that we see. But in belonging to Christ, which brings us to our first point, we have to understand that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are sent by God. And the crazy part about it is, of course, that we know the term for prostitution. But the term was also used interchangeably in the Old Testament as well. It wasn't just about a woman selling herself. It was also about you worshiping idol gods as well. And we worship idol gods, our jobs, our friends, our fraternities, our sororities, and of course, the actual church within itself. We put more emphasis on the actual church building than we put on God. And that's where we come to verse 19. And in verse 19, it tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just talking about caring for the building or caring for the temple. It's caring for yourself. And then this includes mentally, physically, socially, and emotionally, all of those different points. And so I even shared this story today because the identity of the businessman and gave the beggar a renewed sense of meaning and his identity by simply speaking over him and calling forth a talent that was buried within him. And we as the church have to be in a position that we understand that that's our whole goal. We take care of our temple mentally, physically, and socially. And then what we're to do is to pour into others. And as we continue to pour into others, then what it does is it continues to build us up as well. So now as Christians, we're called to recognize and embrace the truth that our bodies are not our own, but are set apart for God's purpose. Say that with me. Set apart for God's purpose. Now, may we strive to live out the truth in our daily lives, honoring God with our bodies and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and transform us. Now, let's go back to the story of the beggar. Now, in that transaction and in that interaction, the beggar had an opportunity to sit down and talk to a person that he wouldn't normally talk to. The man had more to offer. He had more to offer the beggar than the beggar even thought, because he dropped a few dollars in, and we know that that'll last a little time. But the thing was that he also understood that when he poured into him, that was an awakening. And see, we have an awakening. The Bible, 66 books of the Bible that always tell us about Jesus Christ. Not every single part of that Bible points to Jesus Christ. And not only does it point to Jesus Christ, but it also teaches us how to identify with Christ. And our identity has to be in him. So when we understand about identity, this world, we identify as trees. We're identifying as all sorts of things today. And by us identifying that, that means that we take on the characteristics of what we identify with. And if we take on the characteristics of what we identify with, then we have to understand that when we identify with Christ, we identify with the ultimate measure of the world, meaning that everything that we believe about him and everything that we read about him is a part of who we actually are. And that should bring forth us, give us the opportunity to understand that his sacrifice on the cross paid it all for us. So therefore, we don't identify with our past. We don't identify with the things that we've struggled with in life. We don't identify with what other people have called us. We identify with the sacrifice that was paid on the cross, because that sacrifice now seated us in the heavenly places with God. It helps us to understand, more importantly, that we're above and not beneath, that we're the head and not the tail, and that as we continue to move in life and as we move as Christ moves, then we understand that the glory all goes to him. So now we draw parallels in this story for believers, for Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe that many who are struggling in sin and addictions and destructive bondages don't have the revelation of their new covenant identity. We see a believer struggling with sin. It is often mistaken identity. And this is what I was talking about. This is the most important piece. It's because we've been downtrodden. We've been pushed aside. We've been talked about for so long. And then we start to believe those things. But the Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, shouldn't we act like it? I'm just asking, shouldn't we act like we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Because even this morning, as we were going through the book of Esther, we were talking about how Mordecai had set an example for Esther. See, Mordecai was Esther's, he actually raised Esther. So when it came time for Esther to do what God had called her to do, it wasn't because Esther wanted to do it. It was because of the influence that pushed her. And that's where we as a church come in, because the world does not want to identify with Jesus Christ. The world says that's too many restrictions for us. The world says that ultimately, if I identify with Christ, I got to put away all of the things of the world. But if I identify with Christ, doesn't it make my life better? Because I think that that's where the struggle is. Because we as Christians, oftentimes, we come to church, we're tired because we worked so hard on our jobs all week. We've toiled and we've toiled with our kids the whole nine. We have so much going on. But then when we get to church, we have nothing else to give God. But shouldn't that be where we should be giving to God first? Because this is the thing that I'm trying to understand. Even when I was going through this, I was saying, well, Lord, I thought I gave you enough. But do we really give God enough? Because the thing is that we don't put him in every aspect of our life. The Bible teaches us that we are one with him. So if we are one with him, shouldn't we be so consumed with him that in every single thing that we do, that he is included? I mean, but I'm just asking questions now. Because that is the ultimate measure. The ultimate measure is to get so engulfed in Jesus Christ that we don't remember where we used to be. And that's the only way to keep from repeating that past that we've had. This is how we come out of it. Because if we can't identify with Jesus Christ, the one who paid it all for us, let's think about the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew everything that he would go through. He took his disciples up with him. Jesus prayed. And as he's praying, the Bible says his sweats, like droplets of blood, were coming off of him. Meaning that he knew exactly what he'd experience. But see, the problem with the church is that the church is telling people that's what he experienced for you. When are we going to say that's what he experienced for me? Because that's where we have to get to. We have to come to that understanding is that everything that is in that Bible is for me personally. Because if it doesn't become personal to you, then what are we doing it for? We're not doing it for anything, because all we're doing is passing the moment, because it's actually cool to be a Christian. Because you become one of the most hated people in the world immediately. All your old friends, they don't want to associate with you until they have problems. But when they have problems, then what do they want to do? You their first phone call. Because they know that they're missing something. And they need that. And we have to be willing to give that to us. Because when we unite ourselves with Christ, we're saying, number one, that I believe every single thing that you did on the cross for me. I believe every single one of those miracles that you did in the Bible. And I believe that if you did all of those things, I can do them as well. But in order to gain that understanding, it has to be about relationship. It has to be about the relationship with you and him. It has to be a very personal, a very intimate relationship, that no other relationship outweighs that relationship. Not even with your kids, not your mother, not your father, not even with your kids. That should be the most important relationship. Because going back to the beggar, there was a 2-year time frame that passed between the businessman and the beggar actually talking. The businessman imparted within the beggar. The businessman renewed the beggar's identity. So now it's time for us, as we've just come out of revival, we should have been beating the doors down to get in here. Not to hear the word, but to bring an offering to God. Because when we start to bring that offering to God, you know what happens? That's when all of our blessings start to come to us. And so we have to be aligned and have the understanding that every single thing that was given to me not because of anything that I did, but because of who I decided to go into relationship with. And do we know how much our relationships define us? How many of us have been married for a little while, or have had a girlfriend, or have had a boyfriend? And then we notice ourselves forgetting about the things that we used to do for ourselves. And we start to commit ourselves to that girlfriend or that boyfriend, because we're ultimately trying to make it to that point of marriage and being with that person for life. But then we commit and we do what? We stop doing the things that we were doing. It's the same thing. Jesus Christ. We're the bride. If we commit to him If we ultimately say that we never want to spend another day with another person outside of Jesus Christ the rest of our lives, do you know how fulfilled we would be? That is the fulfillment of life. That is what that is the ultimate measure of this life, is to have that type of fulfillment. Because in that fulfillment, you never have to worry about being happy. You never have to worry about being sad. You never have to worry about being mad. And you never have to worry about not being protected. Because not only is he going to supply all of your needs, but he's going to keep you in a manner that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper against you. He's going to make sure that all of your bills are paid. Even when you're down to your last dime. But he's going to make sure that not only do you feel loved, but you feel cherished. He's going to cut every single callous place of your heart off. And not only he's going to cut those callous places off, but he's going to put them back with love. He's going to teach you to love beyond limits. And he's going to teach you to care for every person that you come in contact with. And as they were singing that last song, it came to me to look up the meaning. This was a song that the Africans that was captured sang. That will in their heart. They understood and they identified that God would be able to keep them. It's the same message of this church. It's not something that has just started. All of these pastors that's on the wall, all the way up to Pastor Tillman, have endured and have been through trials, from beatings almost to death. But they all turned it around and they ensured that not only the members of this congregation, but the members of this community understood how important First African Baptist was. And that's where God has taken us. We have to know where we come from to know where we're going. And not only do we have to know where we come from to know where we're going, but we have to continue to put one step in front of the other. And I know there are days that you wake up in the morning and you don't want to get up. I know there are days that you don't feel like doing anything, because I have those days as well. But the thing about it is, if you take the first step, he'll carry you on the rest of them. And that's where we have to be, because we have to know that our identity is not in my mama or my daddy. My identity has to be in Christ. And when I first started to understand what he meant by identity, it took me to a different place. Because I'm thinking identity, meaning that, okay, my parents gave me my DNA. My parents, I've been raised by them, so therefore I'm going to automatically do things that they would do. But he didn't give them to me for me to pattern myself after them. He gave them to me so they can point me to him. And when they pointed me to him, then it became a new ball game. Colors got brighter. The air tasted different. And the reason being was not because of anything that I had done. It was that someone showed me unconditional love outside of anything that I could ever imagine or think. Do you want to be that person? Do you want to be able to love like this? Because we know pastor's going to talk about love if you don't talk about nothing else. We know that pastor is going to teach us to love. But can we, apart from ourselves, love like Christ? This is the goal. The goal is to love like Christ, being bought with the price, the highest price. There will never be a price paid for anything else like the price that who we identify with pay. Because what we have to know is God himself took on the form of flesh, left heaven to dwell amongst us, undeserving sinners. But not only did he leave heaven to dwell among us, he was tempted on every form, the exact same way we are tempted every day, but he was without sin. And not only was he without sin, but as I spoke about Gethsemane earlier, he wasn't just taken to the cross. They put the cross on his back. After they had beat him, drug him from judgment hall to judgment hall. And if you go back and you really study how bad that beating was, the cat of nine tails. Every time they hit him, they ripped skin from his back. But he didn't say stop once, because he had a goal, and that goal was to save us. He said, if I be lifted up, then I'll draw all men unto me. And then he allowed him to lift him up. But let's think about it. I can't identify with that. Want to know why I can't identify with that? Because I don't know if I'd be willing to do that. So if I could personally identify with that, then it'll be time for me to go home. Because there would be nothing that I wouldn't do for another brother or sister. But then after he was raised up, they would pierce him in his side, blood and water. And even in all that he had taken, he decided that it wasn't just about him and it wasn't just about us. Even the thief on the cross, because he believed, he told him, today you will be with me in paradise. This is your opportunity. This is your day. We've had revival. We've had a great time all week. But the thing is that just like this church in Corinth, though they were uniquely set apart to transform their entire city, they, unlike the beggar, decided to conform to the world rather than their identity with Christ. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in the body that they are to stand in righteousness because they are one with God. And today, if you are not one with God, this is your time. This is your moment. This is your opportunity to identify with whom you need to identify with the only person or thing that you can or need to identify with. This is it. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to give you this opportunity to do that. I've talked about a beggar and a businessman, but I also talked about the one that gave the beggar and the businessman life. Because the thing about the beggar and the businessman, they could have gone on and lived a life not pleasing to God. Or they could have lived a life pleasing to God. But this is your opportunity to identify with him. To identify in such a way that it changes your life forever today. That you never be the same after today. This is your opportunity to understand that God has brought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And even as I was speaking about the flesh aspect, we have to understand that he's also talking about the body of Christ in whole. So today, if you're here and you have never prayed to accept Jesus Christ, we're going to say the sinner's prayer. And those that are online, we're going to ask that you would type saved if you decide to accept Jesus Christ on today in the comments. And we will definitely be sure to get back to you. But today is your day to identify with Christ. In the sinner's prayer, Father, I have sinned. I have not been what I should be. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now in Jesus' name. The doors of the church are open. How do you identify? Gracious God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the gathering on today. We thank you for your word, because you know, I know that it will go and do exactly what you ordained for it to do. We ask you, Father God, to, as we have started a new week, we ask you to bless each and every individual as they go about their day, as they go about their week. Bless them on their jobs. Bless them in their homes. Bless everything that they place their hands to, dear God. But most importantly, Lord, have an encounter with each and every one of us this week. An encounter that we will never forget. An encounter that we will understand and we will see you in everything. So, Lord, also bless this offering that we're about to receive today. Bless those that are able to give and those that want to give, Father God. May multiply to them 30, 60, and even 100-fold. Bless it to do exactly what you've called it to do. And may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.